Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Terry Thorne delivers the message entitled, What's Next? Faith to Proceed. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
So our second reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus, made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking to them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This, too, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful for this opportunity to come together as a faith community to worship you and to learn from your word as it is sung and read and proclaimed and prayed. We pray that your spirit would be among us and opening us to hear and see and experience it in a new way today, so that as we leave walking closer with you than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are, the first Sunday of our new reality. And I cannot speak for any of you, but it feels a bit odd to me in a way that I struggle to name. I mean, it's not like I haven't preached or led a congregation or filled an empty pulpit before. In fact, I've done all three and have been doing some form of parish ministry for 20 years. It's certainly not my first day at TAB. Actually, it is my 1,441st day. Not that anyone is counting. And I've stood in this pulpit and preached many times already. Nonetheless, I'd be lying if I said I don't feel as if my boat is rocking a little bit this morning. It's not necessarily in a frightening way, but in a way that reminds me, that today is different for me, for us, and for TAB. Now, for those of you who are visiting, first of all, I forgot to ask you to sign the pew pads if you are. But for those of you who are visiting, or if you've been away from worship for a while, today marks the start of a new season in TAB's history. For the first time in 15 years, we are sailing toward yet another, yet-to-be-discovered future without the Reverend John Gable at the helm. Now, thankfully, we don't anticipate a battering like what the disciples were experiencing against their boat. Still, we are sure to encounter our own winds and waves along the way. More so, it's likely that we will experience some of the same emotions and fears that the disciples felt as they waited on those rough seas for whatever would come next. Now, granted, the circumstances that landed the disciples in the turbulent sea are significantly more tragic than a pastoral transition. Whereas we have said goodbye to our pastor, John, they had just witnessed the senseless beheading of their John, the Baptist. The loss was significant for all of them, including Jesus, and their grief must have been so overwhelming, not to mention the fear and the anxiousness and confusion, wondering, what's next? What now? Where do we go from here? In some ways, those winds and waves beating against the boat, those were symbolic of the turmoil that was playing out in their own hearts and minds and spirits as they were processing the chaos and the disturbance that was starting to emerge in the community, which would eventually, as we know, get directed toward Jesus and then them. So although the situation was very different, I still think we can relate. I mean, we all have our own winds and waves that pound us, don't we? Our own personal tragedies and burdens or life-altering events, the things that blur our perspective or our vision, clouds our vision, the things that dull our sense of hope or distract us into that dark abyss, things that we fret over, and we worry about, and that we suffer under. Be they great or small, things show up in our lives that cause us to huddle in fear, to not be able to see the future in front of us, and at times, if we're willing to admit, to question, is God really near? I would venture to bet that most of us have lived through something that makes us want to cry out like the psalmist, how long, O Lord, how long? How long until the seas are calm and the winds are stilled and peace is restored? How long must we wait until the test results are in or the illness is cured, the brokenness healed? How long will my grief and loneliness last? How long will my child suffer? How long will it take to ease this burden or pay off this debt or find a better job? How long till we have a new pastor? How long? Oh Lord, how long? It's human nature to want to get through the winds and the waves of life as quickly as possible. It's our tendency to avoid chaos and to seek certainty rather than to remain in the in-between, even for a short moment of time. Ironically, though, the creation of anything wonderful, beautiful, and new always begins with a little unformed chaos. Just ask any artist or musician, they'll tell you. As one who typically avoids risk at all costs, yet thrives on envisioning new things, I've come to realize that I will never know the full joy of bringing something new into existence without taking some risk. It's a paradox of sorts. The things we fear most are often also necessary in order to eventually have the things we want most. Winds and waves, even storms, are a fact of life. The good news is we never need ride them out alone. God is always near. Christ always comes to us. And ideally, our community is also there to support us, at least to the imperfect extent that we humans can do that. So even when we don't have clarity about the future, or even when God comes to us in very unexpected ways, as he did for Elijah, God is present in all our storms, available to calm our fears and ready to save us from whatever troubles us. Now, that does not necessarily mean that God will remove the winds and waves from our life or remove us from them. I mean, in this telling of the story, Jesus doesn't rebuke the winds, nor does he calm the waves. He doesn't silence that storm. Instead, he says to the disciples, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Whatever waves and winds are battering our lives personally or subtly rocking the boat of this congregation right now, Jesus is still speaking, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Friends, God's got us. Whether we stay in the boat or hide in a cave or step out in faith or run toward Jesus in fear, God's got us. And you heard me right, whether we move in faith or fear. I mean, we always assume that Peter got out of the boat as an act of faith. But I wonder if it could be just as well have been fear that motivated him. I mean, think about it. Perhaps Peter impulsively decided it is better to try to walk on that water than to remain in this bouncing boat. That would not be out of character for Peter for a moment. And nor would he be the only person who's ever been motivated by fear when seeking out Jesus in a crisis. I think that's why I have such a soft spot for Peter. He's so real and so human. According to Jesus, Peter had little faith, which is also very human and relatable, isn't it? Thankfully, though, if we take Jesus' teachings about faith to heart, a little faith is enough. Faith the size of a mustard seed moves mountains. With a little faith, nothing is impossible. These are Jesus' words, not Terry's. So it makes me wonder if it was really Peter's faith that Jesus was questioning when he said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Perhaps instead, Jesus was gently giving Peter the very love and compassion and comfort he needed when the things that Peter feared most, the waves and the winds, began once again to nag at him, compelling him to take notice. So relatable, right? Even as our faith is carrying us forward, there will be moments when fear and doubts and negative thoughts creep in, and without warning, we will begin to sink. It's true in our individual lives and in congregations. I don't sense that Jesus is question is a scolding of Peter. Now, perhaps there was a little bit of disappointment in his tone, but I hear compassion and love. I hear the gospel. I hear grace. I think Jesus is genuinely asking Peter to share his doubts. "Tell me, Peter, why? What caused the doubt?" It encourages Peter to tell of his fears, to voice the thoughts that entered his mind that caused him to sink into those dark, scary waters. After all, naming these winds and waves of our lives, telling them to Jesus, takes away their power in our life and restores hope and faith. So as Tab moves forward in this time, forward in faith in this time of transition, it will behoove us to name the winds and waves as they arise for our congregation as well. To do so will lessen their ability to, quote, sink the ship, if you will, or even to steer us off God's course for our future. Whether it's faith or fear or a little of both that motivates us to move toward Jesus in the storms and the very scary uncertainties of life, we can be assured of this. When, not if, when we get in trouble, and we're humans, our anxious thoughts will eventually get us into trouble. We don't have to sink and drown. We only need to cry out for help, and we will be rescued. When the battering from the storms is great, we only need to cry out for help, and we'll be rescued. When we're scared, overwhelmed, uncertain, desperate, feeling alone or hopeless, as if we're sinking, we only need to cry out, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. Save me. Or maybe we just groan. Many of us know that wordless prayer all too well. But we've also experienced God's response to our cry. We've felt Christ's hand grabbing ours and lifting us up, refocusing us on what faith can do, move mountains, saving us from drowning in our own despair, and giving us that moment of peace and calm that passes all understanding. We've felt God's Spirit gently guiding us back to the boat, if you will. Bring us back into our loving families and our caring friends and our faith community, where we can then ride out the storm together. This is God's promise to all people. When God's people step out, God is present. When God's people cry out, God responds. Period. As Tab steps in faith into this uncertain future, God is already present with us. And as we collectively and corporately cry out for his guidance and help, God will hear and respond. Now, I want to take a sidebar for a moment to clarify something. I don't know if this is the right definition. I didn't look it up, I admit. But I'm going to tell you what my definition of collectively and corporately means in terms of prayer. So for me, collectively praying means that we're all calling out to God in our individual prayers, but with the same desire on our hearts. So when we all go home and we pray for Tab, our unique prayers for Tab are collected, if you will, before God. That's a good thing. Whereas corporately, to me, means that we also pray together as a single voice, with the same desires and the same prayers at the same time. So I'm going to encourage everyone to be praying for God's will and guidance during this transition. Make that a regular part of your prayer life. Pray for the next pastor whom God's already preparing. Pray for our unity. Pray for our future. But I'm also going to encourage you to join in corporate crying out to God. And so if you're interested in corporate crying out to God for the world, for Christ's church, and specifically for TAB as we move forward in the future, then I'm going to commend to you the Tuesday evening prayer service that takes place in the McKee Chapel every week, every Tuesday at 6:30. Now, currently, there's just a small but mighty group of TAB folks who are stepping out in faith and praying for TAB there, seeking God's leading and asking God to respond to TAB's needs and desires and fears. So I want you to imagine for a minute what might happen if those five or six voices that are currently crying out to God on our behalf was magnified twofold. That's 10 or 12. Or fivefold. That's 25 or 30. Or tenfold. Talk about the power to rebuke storms and calm seas in Jesus' name. When God's people cry out, God responds. When God heard the cry of the suffering slaves in Egypt, he sent Moses to bring them out of slavery. And when he heard Moses cry out in weakness because of his speech impediment, God provided Aaron to do the talking. In fact, every time Moses cried out, God heard and responded with help. Plagues against Pharaoh, parting the waters of the Red Sea, manna for food in the wilderness, and there's a whole list more. When Elijah cried out from fear and burnout, God provided food, then rest, and some more food, and some more rest. But he eventually got around to the truth-telling perspective shift that we heard in the first reading today. And he sent Elijah back into ministry. When King Jehoshaphat pleaded in prayer for God's help against the threat of the vast armies, God sent a simple response. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The battle's not yours. It is God's. Best answer ever. The battle's not yours. It's God's. When the woman in the crowd cried out, the one who'd been bleeding for years, now she cried out with a not with her voice, but with a gesture, grabbing Jesus' garment. When she cried out, Jesus responded with a physical healing, but more importantly, she was given renewed hope and restored to her community. When Paul cried out from prison, God did not always provide physical freedom, but God did release Paul from his misery and filled him with inexplicable joy and peace. Now, there was that one time with the earthquake, remember that? When the gates opened and Paul and Silas were free to go, but they used that opportunity to witness to the jailer who was then baptized. We just never know how God will answer our cries, but we do know that he will. Folks, this is the overarching narrative of our faith. God responds to the cries of his people. And we, you, me, all of us, we are part of that big narrative, and we have our own stories too. In fact, I'm going to invite you to take a moment today during the prayer after this message and remember a time when you have cried out to God. Perhaps it was as recently as this morning on your way here. And remember and give thanks in how God was faithful to you. When people step out, when God's people step out, God is present. When God's people cry out, God responds. May this be so for each of us. May this be so for the Church Universal. And may this be so for the congregation we call TAB. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful, so grateful that you are present to us even before we step out. And we are so grateful that you hear us when we cry out. We pray this day with gratitude for your faithfulness and with a desire to have our faith strengthened and our voices amplified with the assurance that you will hear us as we cry out. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, my name is Carter Booker, and I'm a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. I came to Tab over 15 years ago looking for a group of people who took seriously the teachings of Jesus, especially the teaching that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. What did I find? I found a community giving their resources to support a local school, to strengthen the health and well-being of a neighborhood, to mentor and guide young people through athletics, and the list could go on and on. If you believe it is important to love your neighbor, then TAB is the place for you. I'm Carter Booker, and I invite you to come and see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.